Good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing? How y'all doing? I hope you're doing fine, because you know you've been really filled with all that you've been getting. I know you've been drinking. You've been really feasting. So you have to be filled. Amen? So tonight, I want to talk to you about, you've heard already, but we have a way of hearing the word of God, and you hear it next week or you hear it the next day, and it's new again to you. It feels new again. You get something else from it. So I hope what I have to say tonight, you get something else, because you've heard it already. You've heard it not just this in over the course of your lifetime, but you heard it today, and you heard it yesterday. So what I want to start with is the scripture in John 7, 37 to 39. And I want us to read this. And I want us to read this. And the reason I want us to read this is I want you to see what this scripture is saying to you. What is God saying to you in this scripture? Because what he is saying in this scripture is what he is saying every day, every moment of our lives. Every moment of our lives. This is central to our lives, what we do with this scripture. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to the people next door. Come to Peter, come to any of the other disciples." He said, "Come to me. Come to me and drink. Don't just come, but drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them, will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Let's stop there. This was a time that if you belong to the Worldwide Church of God, you know what I'm talking about. It was the last great day. My memories of the last great day are good. And the reason they are good is because that's when you eat a lot. You feast. You feast. You go places and you have money and you can buy really good stuff. And that make it memorable. The food make it memorable. Don't ask me what they said, but but I do know that is what the last great day was, a time, a festive time, a time really of rejoicing. And this is what they were doing in Jerusalem. It was a holy day. You know what we couldn't do? We could do some things and couldn't do some things. I know me, as I was growing up, commemorating these days, I was more like Pharisee of Pharisees. I didn't do anything outside of what I was told. Nothing. I didn't go any place from church home, and I just sat or sleep and wait till the Sabbath was over. That was me. Didn't lift a finger. Didn't do anything. And when it come to, say, the unleavened bread, that's a little sidebar, not a crumb was found near me. Not a crumb. This all was going on here, these people celebrating the last great day, the eighth day of Tabernacles, well, the last great day, and bringing water from the spring of Siloam and putting it in a basin and pouring it out on the altar. All these rituals, They were rejoicing, which is great. They were rejoicing. They were singing psalms. And Jesus stood up. Jesus probably, in my mind, I'm thinking Jesus is probably saying, if they only knew all of this that they're doing, they don't have to do this. I am the living water. I am the one that need to come to. You don't have to go and dip water and pour it out. I give you the water, the living water, the water that you wouldn't thirst. He wanted them to come to him. And he stood up and said such. But there's other things that that living water does. You don't just come and get it and keep it. You would bust, keep it. It has to flow. He said, rivers of living water will flow in and through you. Where does it go? Where does it go? Where are your living waters that Jesus has given to you, that you came and you drank? You drank yesterday, you drank today. Where are your waters going? Who are they touching? Who are they affecting? You have them. You came to him. And you drank. Now what are you doing with those waters? They're flowing. They're overflowing. They overflow. I have read this scripture so many, many times. And I'm sure you have too. I have heard it in many different messages. Today I want to ask you, does it ring true for you? Does it ring true for you that these waters are living? Does it ring true for you that they are in you? Does it ring true for you that they're flowing? Flowing. Think about that for a second while you consider what Jesus is saying. You go over it again. He said, come. He said, drink. He said, believe. Let me give you a little analogy of that flow. A flowing river is moving. It's always moving. Moving. It goes on and on until it comes to the lowest ebb, to the lowest place. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. On its way, its banks support all types of life. Check out any river. You ever see a dried up tree side of a river? Side of a river, by the side of a river, a flowing river especially. I know it's etched in our minds from WCG, Psalm 1. Everybody know that. Everybody know that. This should be, how many times have we sang that? A person that meditates on God's law, day and night, is like a tree planted by the waters. A tree planted by the waters. When you're plugged in to Jesus Christ, and what it does, it bears fruit. It bears fruit. It produces water. A tree by the water doesn't just dry up. It bears water. It bears fruit. And fruit, the tree doesn't eat the fruit. The fruit is there for those who come and get it. We have living waters in us, a river of living waters flowing. Who is eating from our trees? Who is eating? What are we doing? Is the water feeding all those that come? Or is your water stagnant? this river not only benefits everything that it passes, but inside also, inside of that river, there's a lot going on. It's supporting life. A living, flowing river. There's fish. People come to the river to wash their clothes, rub out all the stains. They fish. We are supposed to be fishers of men. This is what a river does. Jesus said that you come, and when you drink, and when you believe, this river of living water will flow in and through you. I want you to still be thinking of how you are flowing. As you sit there, my flow or your flow is not their flow. Each of us have a flow when we plugged in that water, that source, that main source, Jesus Christ. And you can't be plugged into that main source, Jesus Christ, and stagnate. He said, rivers of living water flowing. A flow. Think about it. How much are you flowing so that down the riverbank is being fed? The trees are growing. Fruit is being produced. People are coming to eat. This scripture is still convicting me. I ask myself, is living water flowing from me? I ask you also. A living water, a living river that's flowing, it doesn't stink even when garbage is thrown to us. So many times garbage is thrown at us. People say or do things to us. That's garbage. Or even we ourselves get into garbage. It keeps flowing. It's a living, moving river. On the other hand, sometimes the river narrows. And all you get is a little trickle. Trickle, trickle, trickle. And it's like it can't really go beyond where it is. Something is causing it to narrow. Sometimes we eat wrong foods, and next minute we have narrowing of our arteries, and the blood can't flow. The blood that brings life to our whole bodies can't flow. The same thing with the flow from Jesus Christ. We allow so many things to narrow that flow that comes from the source, Jesus Christ. Or sometimes we see rivers that are dried up. It's still a river, but it's dried up, waiting for a flow. A dried up river can't support life. A dried up river can't give anything to anyone. But now it supports nothing, a dry river. No fishing. Plants are dying. Birds need to find new nests. No water to clean the clothes. Everything along its banks is affected. And so they thirst. Because they don't know the source. They don't know the source that where you were plugged into. But now, if you're dry, all dried up, are you trickling? What are they? What are you sharing? What are you giving them? Everything along its banks is affected, and so they thirst, running to and fro, not finding any relief for that thirst. When you thirst too long, it becomes painful. Anybody that has gone on a hunger strike and decide not to drink, after a while, what happens to the body? It shuts down, absolutely. That is what is happening in this world right now. Too many times our Christian life is not flowing from Jesus Christ. It has to come from Him. There's no other source. But He wants us to be part of that flow to carry it to the world. So people can drink. They can come to Him and drink. I ask myself, what kind of river am I? And sometimes I am disgusted. A God that gives me everything, everything. And His flow goes to a trickle. His flow goes down to drip, drip, drip. You ever see a person thirsty in a desert? Because this is what is happening to the world, a desert, thirsty for Jesus Christ. And they get a little drop. That's what is happening in a Christian life. Because Christians are really looking just for themselves, what they can do, what God can do for them. They can get their genie in a bottle to bless them. As somebody said, to bless their mess. Because without Jesus Christ, everything we do is mess. Mess that need to be flushed down. I ask you, what kind of river are you? I ask myself that also. If I'm not, then I am not drinking. If I am not a flowing river, because the source is there. It doesn't go away. He's always there. He's always flowing. He's always giving. He's always saying, come to me. He's always saying, I have everything that you need. If I'm not, then I'm not drinking, because Jesus is overflowing. And His flow is engulfing all of us. He's overflowing with compassion for this world. So in that flow, we should have compassion too, because that flow carries everything we need. And it is from Him that I can be compassionate. Without that flow from Him, I can't be anything. Does any of these describe you? A trickling river? Are you a trickling river? You know. You know if you are. This is convicting me. Only give a little. Only give a little. A little here, a little there. A dried up river? Nothing to give at all. A river where people dump their garbage, gossip and slander, complaints and worries? Or am I or you a flowing river plugged into the source? Which one are we? There's no really excuse that we have. Well, I'm not a flowing river because... No! We know the source. And the source is freely given. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to do anything for it. He has given us freely. So what are we? Are we going to trickle? Or are we going to dry up? There's something else that this scripture says. It gives us hope. Hope in Jesus. Do I bring hope to people? That's part of the flow. Do I bring hope to them? If I'm not drinking. I'm not plugged in. He said, come to me. Me, Jesus. Me, the creator of us all. Me, the lover of our souls. Me who has begun a work in you. Me that is faithful to complete it. Me, Jesus. Now, isn't that good news? That's excellent news. I don't even know. I don't even have enough adjectives to describe what kind of news that is. Isn't that worth telling somebody? That probably didn't even want to talk or be associated with another person. Nevertheless, the woman at the well was offered this living water. And she ran. It was so good. She took off. I got some good news to tell. I can't keep it to myself. She was flowing. We have been offered this same water too. Not because we did anything to get it. Jesus gave it to us, I'll say like the kids did, just because. Just because. You fill in the blanks. Just because of his love. Just because of who he is. Here's another point that must be said. Jesus said, let anyone that thirsts, anyone come to me. Who is everyone? Anyone? Everyone. Our neighbors that we don't even know their names, it's them. People we meet on the street, it's them. At the ball game, it's them. On the subways, it's them. People that you hear about here and in other countries, it's all of them. All of them he has invited to come. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy that thirst. There's only one source. David said that his cup overflows because the Lord is his shepherd. He's mine and yours too. So we should be overflowing too, right? He said, I lack nothing, nothing. He is my shepherd that leads me in green pastures. He is my shepherd and yours. In John 15:4, Jesus said, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch. We all branches. But are we all bearing fruit? Think about it. Your mother, your father, your grandparents, your children, your aunties, your uncles, your friends, your neighbors. Can they eat? Are they affected by your flow? Are you sharing what God has given you? David also said in Psalm 63, verse 1, that he thirsts for God, longs for him. There's a longing, there's something about God. We've been here these last few days, and the message that we have got, it makes you thirst, it makes you want more. It makes you, God, how good are you? How great are you? It makes you want to be part of what He is doing, and He has invited us. These rivers of living water should not only be for a thirsty world, but it should be Christian to Christian. I should know that your water is flowing on me and I'm flowing on you. And that flow, in that flow, is bringing love and encouragement. That flow is bringing everything that we each need. That flow is not just for the world. Husband and wife, that flow is for. Wives, does it flow to you from your husband? Do you feel that flow of Jesus Christ? Parents to children, friends to friends, brothers to sisters, even to those who are difficult to be around. It should be flowing. Do any of these benefit from your flow? Do anybody at all benefit from your flow? If not, Jesus said, come and drink. No exclusions. Come if you are heartbroken. I am the love doctor. Come if you are sick. I am the healer. Come if you are suffering from any physical, mental, or spiritual problem. Come. I have the remedy for what ails you. I'm willing. I'm ready. I'm overflowing. I want to give it all to you. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me should not hunger, and he who believes in me should not thirst. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? As believers, we are to eat only one kind of spiritual food, and that's Jesus Christ. He gave himself. The bread sent down from heaven, when we eat of him, we are supplied with his life for our life. His life for ours, and therefore we grow and overflow. We can't do it any other way. If we feel that we're not doing or caring for others, the flow is cut off. We need Jesus, and Jesus alone can help us. But he ain't mad at you. He just wants you to come. He ain't holding that against you. He just wants you to come. Come as you are. Dried up, trickling, come. He got what you got, you need. His life for ours, and therefore we grow and overflow. Therefore we share. We feed all those around us, not of what is ours, but what Jesus has given us. It ain't belong to you. And the thing is, there's more where that come from. Therefore, we share. You can't share if you have a, I don't have enough mentality. I don't have enough mindset. You can't share like that because your mind is already preempting anything you want to do. And you know what? Your mind can be focused on the one who has unlimited resources and that he gives them to you. Because if it was, you would say, okay, I got. Because he has given, let me give. If there is a shortage mindset or a trickle in your flow, he said, come and drink. He is a God of more than enough. More than enough. He gives to the brim and overflowing. He gives lavishly. He gives where you can't handle what he can give. You need everybody else to share what he can give you. As we grow, we are being transformed. Transformed from one degree to another. By taking in Christ as our daily bread, our transformation becomes more evident. And that evidence is part of sharing. That evidence is part of sharing. Because when Christ is evident in you, you are sharing already. You don't have to do a thing. It is God that gave you, and it's evident, and you are already sharing. People around you also benefit from your calmer and more peaceful ways. The thing about God, he could do this and correct it all by himself, but he wants us to be right in the field with him. The fields are right. The world, and especially the church world, wants you to believe that God will help you fulfill your dreams. I heard someone said, we want God to bless our mess. In that flow, we see our mess for what it is. His plan is abundant for us. There's no comparison what he wants for me and what I want for myself. This is not Annity or Mary Annity or Paul Annity. Or I'm sure Pastor Tim would tell you this is not Timothy-anity. This is Christ. This is Christ-anity. This is Christianity. Apostle Paul, the one last thing I would tell you, the Apostle Paul was so mad at the Galatians. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians. What bewitched? What turn you away from the truth, Jesus Christ? So you're not flowing no more. You're not giving anymore. You're not listening and understanding anymore. Out of that flow comes wisdom. And we know, we heard already, that wisdom is Jesus Christ. Jesus sees our feebleness. He knows our weaknesses. He bore our griefs. He sees our pain. He wants so much for us to let his spirit overflow in us. There are 7.5 billion people on this planet now. And Jesus said, together with him, he is saying to us, go feed them. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word is so convicting. Your word is so filling. Your word is so moving in all of us, Father. I ask you to let this word settle deep into our hearts, that it would flow towards one another and towards everyone that we meet in our lives, so that one day we can all be together in unity, in harmony with each other, and bask in the flow of who you are. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.